Send a movie idea.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage where it will be cited in Malala's final year dissertation. I'm Joel, a man who puts the age in courage, and across from me is John Harris, a man who has a painting of his receding hairline in his loft. He should have been bald years ago. John, give us a film idea.
What about this one from Claire, Aquaman, brackets, the pop act from the 90s.
I'm into it.
I don't know.
The main criticism of the DC movies is they're too dark or too heavy. How do you change that? Barbie Girl is the soundtrack.
So is Aqua Barbie Girl and Dr. Jones? That's the big ones, right?
Yeah.
Is Dr. Jones about Indiana Jones? Are we finally seeing the DC and Indiana Jones universe?
Finally, like people have been pining for it.
And the Barbie universe.
So Jason Momoa, what's the story here? Is he in Aqua? Is he in the band Aqua? And then he gets recruited by the Justice League. Or is Aquaman, has Aquaman been around for thousands of years, but briefly in the 90s, had a pop career?
I don't know the exact plot of Aquaman. Is he, he's like the prince of Poseidon or something. Is that the kind of Atlantis? Poseidon is the guy. Oh gosh, I literally know nothing. Just to say, when I was researching, I just tried to do a Google image search, but instead of putting like Aqua Pop Act from the 90s, I just put the word Aqua and it just lays out images of water.
Yeah, of course. Nice. Good effort, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, so Jason Momoa is Aquaman. He's existed for hundreds of years, we can only assume. And he briefly in the 90s had a pop career.
Yeah.
There wasn't much in the way of like sea-based threat in the 90s. He had a lot of time to kill. Atlantis has got a pretty high-spec recording studio. And so he released the hits. Barbie Girl and Dr. Jones.
But he's not, he's the guy who goes, come on Barbie, let's go party.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I don't know who did the actual main verses.
That's Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
You know how sometimes you get stuff like Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars and you think, mate, Bruno Mars is doing a lot of heavy lifting on the performance here. Maybe he was really egotistical and he'd call them Aqua songs, but he'd literally just go, bum, 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 let's go party. Yeah, put me first, then featuring lady who's actually
singing. James Cameron, or another deep sea diver, recorded that sound deep under the water. They never actually found Atlantis, but just travelling through the waves was like, come on, Barbie, let's go party. It's like an ancient chant. And he brought it up to the surface in the 90s. He's admitted that he basically made Titanic so he could fund his deep sea adventure, so he could do a dive on the Titanic.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's not even that fussed about Titanic. It's won the most Oscars ever, and he wasn't even bothered about it. Is that what people's approach to filmmaking should be?
Yeah.
As a way to fund something else?
I don't know. But yeah, he's got a big submarine, and he's done films about that instead.
Yeah. But he was like, I'm going to make Titanic so that I can go and look at the Titanic.
Are you suggesting that all great movies have all just existed because they wanted to do something else?
Yeah, totally.
So like George Lucas just wanted to get his, like, I don't know, barbecue grill restaurant off the ground.
And he was like, absolutely right. Yeah.
Toy licensing.
They're just their little, you know, their white dove is the grill restaurant, you know, the dive-in. But they've got to go on the 9 to 5 on the grind to make these movies. so they can fund their real passion projects.
To bring it all back, James Cameron in the TV show Entourage was the director of the fake version of Aquaman. So it all comes back.
We know what we're doing here. This is tightly scripted.
Actually, on the subject, I've had an email. We've had an email from Tim, and he's asked, he wants to know how the Justice League is decided.
Oh, yeah, because, like, Marvel has Nick Fury.
Yeah.
He's, like, the leader, isn't he?
Yeah, so what you're
saying... He gets the band together. So who's the Justice League guy?
The best bit of a film is getting the band together.
Always getting the band together.
Imagine if there was a Justice League. Would it be better if it was a Justice Tournament?
Oh, no, I see what you're getting at. So there's, like, several divisions.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a second tier of superheroes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, if we were doing it with the Marvel Universe, you'd say Hawkeye is, like, your Leicester City. Like, he shouldn't be at the top.
Nice. Look at you talking sport. You can finally understand sport in this context.
Yes. Is that what it is? You just need to describe all football teams as superheroes.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Brilliant.
There is actually a graphic novel series called The Boys, which suggests that there is this tiering among superheroes. There's like this top level called The Seven, and then there's another lot below them and below them and below them, and they actually graduate between.
And is it decided via tournament?
No, not so much a tournament. More they get killed off and they have to find new ones.
Oh, that's not quite as fun.
But I like the tournament idea.
Yeah.
Like a World Cup of superheroes.
I do like the
idea. Let's get Richard Osman to do it on Twitter.
And I think it's a that's a very good idea. Really good.
World Cup of super... Hang on. Right, you didn't hear this. Go to our Twitter and vote.
I like the idea as well. I know this is obviously you've said it's like in The Boys, but you know, if you've got like... If you're in like the relegation zone or you're in the... What's the lowest of the... Like low in football leagues?
Well, it goes a long way down. So... Like, it goes a long way, long, like, we're talking tens and tens of divisions. So, normally you're talking four or five divisions for your main chat.
And if you're, like, in the fifth division, you'll be getting called out for, like, cats in trees and...
Oh, yeah, big time,
and,
big
like,
time.
small yeah, robberies and vandalism and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas, so, like, if you called up Superman for a cat in a tree, he'd do it, but through gritted teeth.
So what you really want is, if you're a lowly superhero... You want to be called out to a cat in a tree while you're up the tree, witness a bank robbery.
Yeah.
And then you go and save the day, you get a few points, up you go.
And what you do is when you call up your emergency services in these superhero worlds, you get put on a switchboard and they ask you about the severity of the incident, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then they decide what level of superhero they're going to call out. Because the big superheroes are expensive.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Taxpayers' money really wasted on superheroes.
So they have to match up. And if none of them are available, if there's like a holiday issue and they're all off at the same time, that's when the next lot get a real chance.
Yeah, and I mean, getting Superman to get a cat out of a tree costs to the taxpayer over £1 million
a time. It's ridiculous. Do you want one from me?
Yes, please.
Okay, this is coming from Emma. It's the film The Snowman that's recently come out, but it features the snowman from The Snowman.
That was my big idea this week.
Oh, no.
No, I'm up with it. I was thinking of it as like a kind of horror film. So you got like the classic, you know, someone's gone to bed, flickering light, and then there's the silhouette of him that appears. Exactly. That is actually quite scary.
That is quite scary, yeah. Any child singing scary in a, like, a certain context.
Walking in the air.
It
and there'd be way too
looped,
much reverb.
Yeah.
How does a snowman kill a man? Or a woman?
It's got to be a twig through the eye.
Ooh.
Little twiggy arms?
Yeah.
I'm hearing that the actual... You know that snowman film with Fassbender?
Yes.
Apparently it's really bad.
So this is the story that even the director has basically said that... I can't remember the exact percentages, so don't quote me on this. Research it yourself. But it's something like they only managed to film like 75% of the script.
That's
and so then
mad.
They had to basically stick it together
That's
based
madness.
On what footage they had. Yeah. And so people are saying it's incoherent and unfinished because it's literally unfinished.
That's so weird.
So is Fassbender, are we still going to get Fassbender? Are we just going to film 75% of the script?
We're doing the other 25%.
Yes, we complete the film.
Yep.
And then, but also, so we complete the film, do the scenes that are missing, but also, twist at the end, it was an actual snowman.
That's the big twist. It's not a calling card. They're like, he's left another snowman. Little do they know, the snowman's just sat there like, ha, I actually did the murder. And he's just right on the crime scene the whole time and no one knows.
Yeah.
I've got one, John. It's a former uni load of rugby lads. They're a bit older now. They're on a stag do to Greece. It's Lash of the Titans. And that's come in from Robbie.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. They've got to complete like 12 Herculean tasks while they're there. So they get there. Their baggage is gone. They think it's just a cock up with the airline, but it's not. There are greater powers at work here. And so these 12 rugby lads have to battle their way past like modern incarnations of Greek gods while getting really pissed on Uzo.
I actually think that that's the kind of movie that would have been released 10 years ago.
That sort of movie. Yeah, that could happen, couldn't it?
Yeah.
That could actually happen.
In our kind of post American Pie Euro trip kind of vibes, I think that.
Yeah.
And I think it's slightly cleverer as well, because I like the little allegory of the kind of Greek gods.
Yeah, it's actually quite good, isn't it? So, if anyone actually wants to contact me about this idea, I've got 75% of a script written. And that's all you need these days to get a film made.
What happens in Clash of the Titans? Medusa?
Medusa's probably there, the one with all the heads, probably knocking about.
Yeah. Well, how would you modernise and ladify Medusa?
That's a very good question. I don't know, something about getting stoned.
Yeah, nice.
So Medusa's a dealer, maybe?
Yeah.
She turns you to stone, and they think, oh, this is going to be great, I'm going to get so high. But really, when you smoke these drugs, you actually literally turn into stone.
Or you just become so stoned that you stop moving.
Good, very so good.
Let's keep it in the realms of reality, I think.
And that's when like the first couple of lads have a toke, using some language there that the kids can understand. And that happens to them, so the others stop. They're like, no, we're not touching that. So then they slowly get picked off as they go.
Yeah, okay. And the multi-headed dragony thing, is that like a crew of tearabouts, but they're all related, so they look the same?
Yeah.
So it's like brothers and twins and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I'm loving this, yes.
Yeah?
I'm picturing they're all in vests with nicknames on, and one of them is nicknamed Hercules, and he lasts till the end.
On the back of the top. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hercules, nice. I think I'm mixing up metaphors and myths and stuff, but also can there be one called Achilles who breaks his ankle at some
Absolutely.
Point?
Absolutely, of course
I can. Yeah, no, and I like, you know, this gang who are playing the role of I can't think of the multi-headed dragon thing, but there's going to be a great scene early on in the film where, like, they see one down an alleyway, and then they turn around and they see him again at the other side of the alleyway.
Nice.
And they're like, what? And then it turns out that it's just twins. Great.
This is a great idea.
Top idea. So, studios, if you want to get in touch with us, Lash of the Titans.
Yes.
I've had this one in from James, and actually I think it's very good because it illustrates the breadth of places that we can get ideas from. I'll give you that, like, 75%, the classic number, 75% is pun-based.
Yeah, and that's mostly
nonsense. But you can give us ideas from anywhere. So this is a great example of it. James wants to know about the movie that ends with Donald Trump stood next to a Melania body double. So
unconfirmed allegation.
Oh yeah, but this is our film. This is a work of fiction.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Based on a true story, or
no? Well,
all right, no. Good.
Oh, we'll do one of those like based on a true story asterisk.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So this is interesting, right? So Donald Trump, what's he done? What happens to the real Melania in order for her to be? Does she just flee to Russia?
Does Donald Trump know that it's a body double? There's a lot of questions to be asked here.
Donald Trump doesn't know. It's a Russian agent.
Okay, well, look, I like your idea, but let me just spitball a different idea.
Okay.
And then we'll go with yours. It's a comedy caper.
Yeah.
The president is worried about security and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he hires the world's greatest bodyguard and disguiser.
Okay, yeah.
So imagine someone comes up to Trump for the attack. Melania just like over her shoulder.
Nice.
Into a ditch.
Yeah, I like that.
And comedy just ensues.
I can imagine it does. Right, Alfie has emailed us, John.
Thanks, Alfie.
It's The Rock and Vin Diesel. The Rock being one of our favourites. The Past and the Furious.
Okay.
So they're in Stetsons. It's the Wild West. They're racing stagecoaches. That's all I've got.
I mean, that's all you need, isn't it? And they're like, oh, go on.
Well, the way this series is going, right, there are how many films now? 30? I can't remember. But they're going to have to go into space next.
Yeah.
And that's when you've jumped the shark and you're in space. The only place to go, backwards. The Fast and the Furious. It's inevitable because they won't let the series die because literally everyone on Earth goes to watch every film.
Yeah.
But once they've gone to space, no, unless we start going to other dimensions, it can't be done. So they'll think, where are we going to go next? We have to go backwards.
How do you drive a car in zero gravity? They'll work it out.
That'll be the slogan of the next film.
Is it like an alternate universe where it happened in the past, or is it a time machine caper where at some point The Rock has to turn to the camera and says, we need to go back to the past and the Furious?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly what happened. So whoever so I think in the last film, did Vin Diesel turn against them? I've literally never seen the trailers of the films. I think Vin Diesel went bad. So maybe the next one, Statham goes bad and goes back. He's like, I need to go back and like rewrite all of this in history. Because
so that they don't exist even.
Exactly. So Statham goes back to the past and the Furious.
Yeah.
And so The Rock has to follow him back to the past and the Furious.
Yeah.
And it all culminates with a big like horseback race.
I don't want to get, tied down in the nitty gritty of time travel. But I've always thought when they do stuff like that and they're like, oh, we're starting to disappear because of it would be instantaneous.
It would be, yeah.
The guy would go back in time. The whole of the second he left, everything would change.
Yeah.
Because it happened in the past.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So, it's not fun, but Vin Diesel goes, I'm going to go into the past and, you know, make sure you don't exist. End of film. The Rock's been written out of history. Oh. Imagine writing The Rock out of history.
Exactly.
That's what happens. It's just impossible to write The Rock out of history.
So he keeps going further back and further back and further back, and he can't be done.
And, like, the love between his great-grandparents.
Yep.
Like, he tries to separate them by continent, like... make them hate each other, and it's just too strong.
Yeah, he's a rock.
It's a destiny.
Yeah.
You can't, and that's the moral of the story. You can't write The Rock out of history.
You can't erode The Rock from history. It can't be done. There you go, The Fast and the Furious. Thank you very much, Alfie.
This one comes from Kate. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince of Bel-Air.
Right, okay. So, either Harry Potter's ended up in Bel-Air, yeah. Or, preferably,
Will Smith
at Hogwarts.
Yeah, of course.
So, how old is the Fresh Prince? Is he old enough to still be a student?
Yeah, because he goes to school.
Got it, mate. A student exchange program. We get the best of both worlds.
I was thinking a letter that was supposed to go to Privet Drive goes to West Philadelphia. Yeah. Will just goes with it because he's being bullied on the basketball.
And he loves an adventure. He absolutely loves an adventure and he's up for anything. So, yeah, so we can have a letter go from an owl to West Philly, and then it's just the Fresh Prince, but he's at Hogwarts, which would be amazing. Or there's like a student exchange program set up because Wizards is getting too big for their boots and they're not integrating well with Muggles. So the idea is to let them live as a Muggle for a couple of weeks. And Harry Potter gets assigned the Fresh Prince. And so the Fresh Prince goes and lives at Hogwarts for 2 weeks. Harry Potter stays in Bel-Air.
How can we get other characters from Fresh Prince involved?
Well, obviously...
Jazzy Jeff is in the suitcase.
Jazzy Jeff's in the suitcase.
McGonagall keeps throwing him out.
Yeah.
It would be McGonagall as well. Dumbledore would be pretty chill about it, but McGonagall would be really kicking off. They happen at the same time.
They do happen at exactly the same time, yeah. Early 90s.
Shit.
Yeah. It's mad to think that... The Fresh Prince and Harry Potter were happening simultaneously.
Just imagine him in his like neon shorts and like his backwards baseball cap in Hogwarts. It'd be really good.
He would look so cool in one of those robes as well.
Which house?
He's Gryffindor all over, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's confident. He's brave. He's bullshit. Well, he's not going to be a Slytherin.
No, too kind.
He's far too kind.
Uncle Phil, is he magic? That's the big question.
Uncle Phil's definitely magic. Uncle Phil and Dumbledore go way back.
Yeah.
Dumbledore accidentally, when he was a bit younger, performed some magic in public and Uncle Phil got him off because he's obviously a big lawman.
Love it.
So that's how they know. And Uncle Phil's like, you know, I want to get Will on this program. He needs to see the world.
Yeah.
Writes a letter to Dumbledore. Dumbledore's like, don't worry, mate. I'm gonna
sort
this
out.
So
it's not a standard school exchange. It's Dumbledore paying back a favour to Uncle Phil.
Exactly. And that favour is he wants his estranged...
Nephew.
Nephew.
Not his son.
No, he wants his estranged nephew to go and spend 2 weeks in a magical school.
Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince of Bel-Air. Although that title does suggest that he's the half-blood prince, which really complicates the plot of Harry Potter. Let's not
I think everything we've just said would quite complicate the plot of Harry Potter.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, so we've only really got my suggestion left now, John.
Sad times, Joel. Sad times.
I've been watching quite a lot of... well, not quite a lot, but I've seen a few episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
It's fantastic television.
I've heard it's really great.
It's really excellent, right? And I think RuPaul needs to get on the silver screen.
How many... I know this isn't your point, but how many seasons have we got of RuPaul?
7 now.
That's the thing. I always... When someone says you need to get into this and there's more than
yeah,
like
but it's not
seasons.
Like that. It's not like that. It's not a narrative from season 1 to 7.
I could just watch Breaking Series Bad. 7, couldn't I?
You could just watch Series 7, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to get him on the silver screen, right? And I'm thinking, how can we do this? How can we take a popular film that already exists and kind of modify it a bit and get RuPaul in there? How to Train Your Drag Queen.
Okay, yeah, I'm on board. I like the idea. I think let's just focus on what we need to focus on, Joel. You've got a great pun there. Let's leave all the How to Train Your Dragon stuff alone.
Yep.
And let's just go for How to Train Your Drag Queen. So he's in like New York.
Yep.
He's a super confident, he's seen the world drag queen, and he trains up a shy understudy.
I love it.
It's like a
classic. Maybe it's a few years down the line and RuPaul wants to like hand on the crown of being, you know, the world's most famous drag queen.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's looking at retirement.
Yeah.
He's written the memoir. You know, what's next? Who do I pass this on to? And so it's a case of finding the next. This is just RuPaul's Drag Race.
Is it?
Yeah. But it's a fictional film.
Yeah. So he's not called RuPaul. He's called Lou Joel. And
yep.
And the ratio, the screen ratio is slightly different. The lighting's slightly better.
Yeah.
Worth cinema ticket price, right?
Exactly, am yeah, right? I'd say so. I'd pay.
I don't want to be cynical about this, but I think you could definitely just cash in and make a fake version of RuPaul's Drag Race for the big screen and people would go in their droves.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And it would make its money back.
Where do I put my ticket?
Exactly. There's the only thing I know in the narrative of this story... Because, as you can imagine, Joel and I are very ignorant on the ins and outs of this, so we'd have to get Rue to really be our consultant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The only thing I know about the narrative is there'll be a three-quarter the way through the film point where Rue looks like he's going to betray the person he's training for his own ego.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, switcheroo, turns out it was all great.
Switcheroo Paul.
That's the name of his... His autobiography. Switcheroo Paul, the story. Yeah?
That's the end of the show. Who wins?
I don't know. But look, as much as I love RuPaul, I'm open to love RuPaul. I've never seen the show. I'm worried that we are just cashing it. We are emoji movieing, angry birdsing.
Yeah.
Something that already exists.
Yeah, so that can't win.
I think Lash of the Titans is something I could actually see in a cinema 15 years ago.
It's a legitimate thing that could actually happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in this climate, but 15 years ago.
Oh, anyway, we know it's the end of the show because there is a knock on the studio door. Somebody's coming in. They've got their booking next. And who is that at the door, John?
It's our consultant, Rue.
It's Rue. Hey, Rue. Come on in.
So what happens is, right, listener, is we do this. we do this every time, obviously. You know the gag, right? And then we both sit there silently, like as if Rue's going to come in.
And no one ever comes in. I mean, this show could be hours and hours long. We're really seen behind the curtain there. No one even books this studio.
What would we actually do if someone knocked on the door and came in? We'd probably think it was inside our own brains.
We would, yeah. Anyway, that's the end. Cheers, John.
Thank you.
And thank you.
So I went to the cinema yesterday, Joel, and I saw, what was it? What did we come up with? Blade Sprinter 10 to 9.
Yeah.
And I won't name the cinema, but it was a bit of an odd one. Middle of the day, Saturday, screening. And I paid £15 for this honour because you're in central London, aren't you? And this is so... Right. So I get there about on time, which is early, really, for a cinema because you actually don't need to be there for about half an hour after the start time, really.
Yeah, but I'm not about that.
No. So I get there on time. And if you get there on, like, time, you have to do 15 minutes of crap adverts and then 15 minutes of good adverts.
Film adverts.
I'm all for.
Yeah.
TV adverts for cars and stuff.
I want to state for the record now that if I ran a cinema, doors would be shut when the trailer started and you aren't allowed in.
I would be so on board with that.
Because there must be, right? Because I also went to cinema yesterday, so I've got some axes to grind as well.
Great.
There must be people downstairs selling tickets for films that have started.
That's
why are you doing that?
Point, yeah.
Why are you doing that?
I wonder if there's in... My point of reference is a church here, but I went to a modern church as a kid and it had a section for mothers with babies.
Yeah.
So could we have a section that's way more expensive that people who are late have to sit?
I'm up for that. And it's maybe like a balcony above so they don't disturb you.
Yeah, soundproofed, rickety seats.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, sir. Is that... Have you got a crisp packet there? That's going to be very noisy. You're going to have to go in the section.
And by the way, there will be a beam directly in front of your seat.
I get in there. You know, we've got about 40 minutes until the film actually starts. Mm-hmm. Sit at the end of my aisle. There's one other guy on my aisle. All the adverts happen, everything, all the prep. And the second the film starts, he ups and exits the cinema. And
what?
Doesn't come back.
What?
So
he's in the wrong screen, right? He must be.
So this is an insight into my brain. I barely focused on the film for the whole 2.5 hours. I mostly thought about why that guy left our screening.
He just was in the wrong screen.
And it was only about 4 hours later when I told this story to my girlfriend and she went, he was probably in the wrong screen.
What did you think happened?
I don't know, Joel! And it was the most stressful... Yeah,
just loves film ads. Loves trailers so much.
Yeah, honestly, it really freaked me out. And I was like, why would a man just come, pay £15 and just like... Maybe he just wanted to see the title card. He's a big title card guy.
Hey! And he walks out. He just loves the BBFC. I had the reverse of your issue the other day in that recently when I at the same screening of the same film, there were three kids that came into the film very, very late. They sort of ran in. They ran in as a three and they split up and sat in various parts of the cinema. And then the security came in and went aisle by aisle, obviously looking for three tearaways. I think they just run in without tickets, looking for them. And they came in and out two or three times. Obviously on the run, various screens, pranksters. So annoying.
I've definitely been the noisy kid in a cinema as a teenager, and my adult self hates me.
Yeah, I remember throwing a Malteser at a stranger once. And now I think, oh, you prick.
We've all made mistakes.
It's hard, though, isn't it? It's hard being a teenager.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, John, speaking of cinema ads.
Yeah.
You know, there are crap ads, but they're usually high-end ads, right? High-end products.
Yeah.
Cars.
Yeah. Cars.
Phones.
There's the annoying one for the bar area of the cinema that you're in.
A certain type of cinema. There's a stupidly high-end ad, essentially, for Coca-Cola and the cinema that's really confusing, and like Coca-Cola turns into a cinema seat, and then it's an ad for Dolby. It's crazy. Also in that cinema, they have a really over-the-top advert for the cinema advertisers, DCM.
Yeah.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah. Is it the same one? I don't know if this is the same one or not, but there's one chain where you can get in on time. Say the film starts at 1:15 mm-hmm. one, and then at about 1:40, there'll be an advert that says, "Don't worry, there's still plenty of time to get drinks and snacks."
Yeah.
You're like, what? Where have I done it? What?
No, there isn't. There's absolutely not, because the way that you operate those tills means it takes 20 minutes to serve everyone. There's not enough time. There's simply not enough time. And it's also so expensive. It's unbelievably expensive. I went to that chain of cinemas once last year at Christmas with my girlfriend to watch Star Wars Rogue One.
Yep.
Went to Nando's before.
Lovely.
The whole thing costs over £100 because of the expense of the cinema. We had to go to an upgraded screen because it was the only one they were showing it in. £20 a ticket, mate. £20 a ticket for the cinema.
Theft.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, that ad, you wanted to get
on
specific.
They're normally high. The ads are normally high end. However, there was an ad sandwiched between a couple of these high end ads yesterday at the cinema for vaping, just like for the idea of having vaping. So this guy, you saw it as well, didn't you? Yeah. There was a text message exchange about it. This guy, like he's walking down the high street. He notices a shop called Wicked Vaping, and he's like, he's on the phone. He's like, "I'll be home in about 10 minutes," and it's daylight. He looks up at Wicked Vaping. He's like, "I'm gonna get me some vapes," and it's so cheaply made. And he's in there, and it's just like a load of quick cuts of people just smiling at him and handing him vapes and being like apple flavor and like just all smiley. And then
they do a bit where someone's saying all the options they have, and behind him, like loads of words like strawberries and cream, eat and mess. Well, that's the same flavor actually. But anyway, amazing.
And then the punchline is he leaves the shop and it's dark, and he's like, "Oh, traffic's been totally wicked," because that's the name of the shop. Like, the idea is that he's been in that shop for 10 hours. Just, time's got away from him because of all the vaping options. Vaping's the least cool thing in the world.
You've heard it here first.
Anyway, for 10% off your first cartridges, use the offer code DREAMFACTORY at totallywickedvaping.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.